place to deal with terrorists? Because, of course, in the aftermath of the most recent attack, Theresa May has said that we have to change, things have to be done differently. But what more in terms of law can be done?
My own professional experience and counter-terrorist legislation has been evolving now for since 2000, actually. The first piece of significant legislation was the Terrorism Act 2000. And my own professional experience and opinion is that we have already a substantial body of law which will adequately deal with all offences of terrorism. You'll be aware that terrorist legislation is reviewed annually. There's a statutory responsibility to do so. And there's an independent reviewer of terror legislation appointed. It's currently Max Hill. Prior to Max Hill, it was David Anderson QC. And both have concluded, Max Hill recently, that the existing law is more than satisfactory to deal with the current threats facing the country. We have laws curtailing freedom of expression. It no longer is it possible in this country to glorify terrorism or distribute material promoting terrorism. We have restrictions on freedom of association. One can't go out there now and associate with proscribed organisations. We even have restrictions as to what people can carry. And this is quite pertinent, actually. Hurrem Butt, one of the London attackers, was featured in a Channel 4 documentary, Unfurling a Flag. And something like that would be caught under the terror legislation. It's important that these offences that we've created, they don't only just deal with people actually committing acts of terrorism, but they also deal with other offences associated with acts of terrorism, people preparing acts of terrorism, people having in their possession material which might be useful to committing an act of terrorism. So it's wide-ranging. It's in-depth and, in my view, very comprehensive.
Tanvir, there have been some who have called for, potentially, the introduction of internment without trial for terrorism suspects. What do you think of that? How could you implement that?
A cornerstone of the terrorist legislation is intelligence-led. In order for suspects to be arrested, in order for the police to be aware of the suspects in the first place, a lot depends upon intelligence from the community, both from the Muslim and the non-Muslim community. And it's important to point out, in the recent attacks in our country, both in Manchester and in London, it was members of the Muslim community who reported these individuals well before the attacks occurred. Internment on the scale that's being suggested, in my view, is going to undermine that intelligence, that dependent on intelligence-led community information. Members of the community are going to be unwilling, in my view, where they see large sections of their community detained without trial. To use common parlance, dobbing other members of their community in. It's also important to remember we can currently hold suspects without charge for up to 14 days. It used to be 21 days, but now the police can properly arrest somebody suspected of committing a terrorist offence and keep them in custody for up to 14 days while they investigate that offence. And as I say, to date, there has been no suggestion that the current framework isn't working. I can't see at the moment any powerful arguments to suggest that internment should be extended beyond the current framework.
Tanvir Qureshi, thank you very much indeed. Criminal law barrister Tanvir Qureshi.
And of course, there are those that would say, you know, if you don't learn the lessons of history, then you are doomed to repeat them. And internment in Northern Ireland certainly didn't turn out the way I think the government would have wanted it to, and it was a recruiting tool ultimately for paramilitaries. So, depends the way you look at it, doesn't it? 850-58. We've got two callers going to bring them up together. Terry.